Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Arriving in Fukushima City, everything seems normal. It's a bustling town. Hard to think we're about 70 kilometers from the site of a nuclear meltdown. Last March, damage to nuclear reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi Atomic Energy Plant sent more radioactive fallout into the atmosphere than was produced by the atomic bombs dropped on Japan in 1945. But now, all seems normal. People go about their normal lives, and background radiation levels are, in most places, lower than those in London, or Washington, or Delhi, or Tehran. It looks like the threat has gone. But has it?
I thought I would die when the earthquake happened. As for the nuclear accident, I don't think anyone in Fukushima expected it to happen. I was very surprised to hear that radiation had leaked from the power plant.
She was saying the way that they try to decontaminate is by having kids at the fire and then still throwing water. So you need to kind of get rid of everyone and then decontaminate. I don't know whether it's scientifically proven. The entire population.
This is a quite strange situation. We may accuse, for example, North Korea. They have some gag censorship. But actually, this is Japan in 21st century. So what makes me very angry was the attitude of the government.
Well, just up the hill near where the workers are cleaning up the soil, there are quite a few trees full of Japanese fruit known as kaki, which is a very popular fruit in autumn, but I guess they weren't picked during the season because of radiation fear, and now they've been left to rot on the branches. In this special edition of Discovery with me, Mariko Oi, we'll hear from both activists and scientists who are very unhappy with the way the disaster was handled and its lasting impact. As we'll hear, the situation led the public to distrust scientists. The nuclear plant is operated by TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Company, one of Japan's private monopoly electricity providers. At their Tokyo headquarters, there's a permanent police presence, guards and metal barricades to keep protesters at bay.
Straight after the earthquake, we were in a panic in both Fukushima and Tokyo. As a result, our information got mixed up, or we didn't actually have the right information to release. We apologize for causing any confusion.
TEPCO's spokesman, Yoshimi Hitosugi. He feels the need to apologize. There was confusion in those early days. The horror of the earthquake and tsunami were quickly followed by the news of damage to a nuclear plant. In such a chaotic situation, perhaps one might forgive the electricity company or the government for being less than forthcoming with information on exactly what had happened. But for others, this communications failure was unforgivable. Professor Tatsuhiko Kodama, head of Tokyo University's Radioisotope Center. As a molecular biologist specializing in cancer, he's well aware of the effects of radiation on cells. He shouted at politicians during a parliamentary session on the incident. It was an extremely uncharacteristic event for Japan, a public dressing down, very unusual in this polite and formal society. He was angry at the government's lack of action in addressing the needs of people caught up in the disaster. He's not alone in his anger.
The government definitely knew much more than they revealed. They were monitoring how much water had evaporated inside the plant. They knew about the melt-through. workers called families. I think the government could have evacuated residents much more effectively. I'm not speaking as a scientist, but as a resident of Fukushima. I am angry.
That's Akira Watanabe, vice president of Fukushima University. He feels scientists are now facing unwarranted criticism due to government incompetence.
There are other cities outside the exclusion zone which received higher doses of radiation because of the wind. It's not just the 20-kilometre circle around the plant which was affected. The exclusion zone was set up mainly to prepare for another explosion. But that has nothing to do with which areas got exposed. The government needs to clarify this because there's so much misunderstanding.
And as I arrived in Japan, it emerged that the government had given data from its radiation monitoring system showing where the fallout was heading to the US military just 3 days after the accident. But that information didn't reach the Japanese public until more than a week later.
We now know that the government handed over the SPEEDI data, the System for Prediction of Environment Emergency Dose Information, to the US military on March the 14th, but Fukushima residents only heard about it on the 23rd. As a result, when people were told to evacuate on March the 12th, they weren't told where to go or where not to go. So they ended up using this highway to the north, which took them to areas with higher radiation. The government could have prevented this.
Following the explosion, weather patterns sent the fallout in a northwesterly direction, away from the plant and the exclusion zone set up around it. I've come to the city of Date, which is about 60 kilometres northwest of the Fukushima nuclear power plant. Locals say that when the nuclear accident happened, they weren't too worried because the city is quite far from the plant. But the wind carried some of the radioactive materials which were released from the nuclear power plant to this direction of the northwest. So some areas of this city could have been more contaminated than areas within the exclusion zone, which covers just 20 kilometres surrounding the nuclear power plant. Well, I'm just walking from the station to the city office, and you can see quite a number of very traditional Japanese houses. But compared to some other cities that I've visited in Miyagi Prefecture, this city doesn't seem to be affected too badly by the earthquake. But because of the high-level radiation that they detected in this city, officials here have been very busy trying to clean up those areas. I've come here to meet Takahiro Hanzawa, who's been leading that cleanup work.
We thought radiation wouldn't have any impact on us because of distance. In late March, we measured radiation. It was about 20 millisieverts. The level has fallen significantly, but because it is still higher compared with others, residents think it is very high and want us to lower the level. It's becoming something of a competition. We started in May. We got rid of the surface, but where to take the contaminated soil? No one wanted it, so we buried it and covered it. There are two issues. One main aim is to bring it down to a non-harmful level. Residents want to completely get rid of it. The first aim needs speed. The other, we need to be practical. Residents want to return it to the pre-accident level. I totally understand, but it's costly, so we need to be reasonable.
In this situation, being reasonable wasn't enough.
At first, I thought if we scientifically explain, they'd understand, but they don't. There's no point in arguing, so we continue to have forums to explain and visually explain. We can't get rid of it totally. They've started to understand, and we've started looking for areas to dump contaminated soil. We knew we had to lower the level of radiation, but we didn't have any ideas how to decontaminate. We got advice from Shuichi Tanaka, and we copied what he did.
Cesium nuclide has a long half-life, almost 30 years. We can't wait to natural decay. We have to remove physically, artificially. It's essential.
Shuichi Tanaka was the acting head of Japan's Atomic Energy Agency. He has become the chief advisor to the cities of Fukushima and Date on decontamination and devised the systems they're following.
Usually, the contamination happened in nuclear facility inside the controlled area. But this contamination is a global, wide environmental contamination, completely different.
Can you tell me what kind of methods you've been using this time in Fukushima to decontaminate those areas outside the nuclear facilities?
Contamination of cesium has a very special feature. The most important thing is to remove the surface,
Why does cesium get stuck on the concrete so quickly and so firmly?
格子状のなんかこう穴の中にはまり込んでるって感じ。分子原子構造の中にはまり込んで。
So the little, I don't even know how to say that in English. So the surface of the concrete has little holes, and the cesium gets stuck inside there. So you have to scrape it off.
Not chemical bonding, physically in the trap.
We've just arrived at Ooda Primary School in Fukushima City. People are doing decontamination work as we speak. It's snowing at the moment, but people are removing soils as well as possibly concrete in order to lower the level of radiation. We're going to see what's happening closer there. Well, there are about half a dozen people wearing blue overalls, digging some soil and removing the surface. They need to remove about 5 centimeters from the surface in order to get rid of radioactive materials which are stuck on the soil. Their work isn't really sophisticated. They're manually digging up soils and sweeping concrete roads. They're all wearing some kind of a mask in order not to breathe in any radioactive materials. Well, we're now on the playground, and they just installed 2 rather massive, what look like big rubbish bins with solar panels attached to it. I just asked a teacher at this school what those machines were, and he told me that they are to measure the radiation level in the air, and the information, the data, will get sent straight to the Ministry of Education in Tokyo. He was also telling me that now every school in Fukushima will have to have one of those machines. Wow. The cleanup workers are using hot water to spray the concrete ground, removing some of the fallen leaves. But we were told by scientists that in order to get rid of radioactive materials from the concrete, you have to actually scrape off the top. So we're not sure why they're using hot water here. Well, just above the school that we were at, there's a little hill, and there are about 10 workers removing soil, and it looks like they're chopping off some of the branches as well. It is rather heavily snowing, but they're continuing their work. 6, 8, 10, 12. Well, there are at least 12 quite large bags, which I assume would be full of contaminated soil and branches as well. They need to be moved and be dumped somewhere else. But the question that we've all been hearing is, how much decontamination do they need to do? Because as a result of this cleanup effort, you get quite a large chunk of waste that needs to be put somewhere else. There is one place in the city of Fukushima where they've been dumping those waste, but there have been quite a lot of protests from residents not to put any of those contaminated soils anywhere near their houses. So the city officials have been struggling rather to find places to dump the waste. Well, just up the hill near where the workers are cleaning up the soil, there are quite a few trees full of Japanese fruit known as kaki, but I guess they weren't picked during the season because of radiation fear, and now they've been left to rot on the branches.
In the Fukushima incident, some of those fission products, as we call them, those split-up bits of uranium atoms, are entrained into bits of debris and so forth, and they move through the atmosphere and slowly decay and give out the radiation. There's a particular isotope, iodine-131, which is giving up its energy, as it were, that it decays away relatively quickly, a few days or so. So after a few months, essentially there's none left. It's all decayed away. After that, we start worrying about things like cesium-137, and that has a much longer half-life, 30.2 years.
Professor Robin Grimes, director of the Centre for Nuclear Engineering at London's Imperial College. These escaped radioactive isotopes, products of uranium breakdown within the nuclear reactor, vary greatly in their capacity to do harm.
They go through something called a decay chain. So you may start with one atom and it moves into another atom, and then after a while it decays to another atom and so on and so forth. Although usually, or quite often, there's only just one decay to a stable element. Now, that decay process, the energy that it's giving up, can be quite different from one isotope to another. Some of them are more dangerous than others. Some of them are dangerous because they get concentrated in the body, and that's one of the reasons we were worried about the iodine. Others don't get concentrated, they dilute, and so they're, for any given one person, they don't tend to have much of an effect. So I'm afraid it's a bit of a sort of a hodgepodge of different issues and different timescales. If you are just visiting Fukushima for a day or so, then you're going to get an additional dose compared to background. It may be actually a very, very small dose, but you're going to receive that total dose over a period of time of just a day or two. For people who are living there all the time, then, of course, they have that small addition to their background normal dose, but they're going to get it over day after day after day, month after month. So there's a greater accumulation. So people have to think about that total accumulated dose. That's what really matters. That's what would potentially do some damage. However, it does seem that those levels now are getting to the point that they are only a tiny amount above background. This is a very controversial issue, but many people, and there is a lot of literature now suggesting that such small levels are not harmful, whereas other people feel that they are harmful. And I think a lot more good research needs to be done in this area.
I'm Marie Goy, and this is a specially extended edition of Discovery on the BBC World Service. We're looking at the scientific response to the nuclear accident in Fukushima. Well, I'm just outside Fukushima Station. This is actually my first time in this area. I've been covering the earthquake and tsunami, but I've been mainly visiting other prefectures which were affected more badly by the actual earthquake and tsunami. So getting out of the station, this looks very different. There's no rubble. There's no damaged building as far as I can see. And I guess because of what you hear about the exclusion zone and how contaminated some of the areas are, I was expecting it to be much quieter, but in fact, people are out and about. They are really living their everyday life, moving on with what they normally would do. Since the nuclear accident, the level of radiation has fallen quite significantly, and today the level here is quite low, between just about 1 millisievert to the highest that we've heard was about 3, which is quite low compared to some other cities in the world. For example, Denver, Colorado is said to have about 4 millisievert. Other cities in China, India, Iran are said to have much higher levels of radiation as well. So what's all the fuss about?
Oh,
Well, I've just walked into a cafe called Hamoru in Fukushima City. It's a meeting place of anxious parents and activists who have been protesting against nuclear energy. They sell organic vegetables, for example, onions from Hyogo, which is in the southern part of Japan, because people here are concerned that products here might be contaminated. You can also borrow things to measure radiation or read books about nuclear energy. I've come here to meet parents who have young children as well as activists.
Japanese children have been taught that nuclear energy is safe. So they didn't know that there was a possible risk. If they knew, they'd have protected themselves by not walking around in the rain, which was contaminated by radiation. That made me really sad. Within the 20-kilometre exclusion zone, their health check is properly done. But outside the zone, it's just filling out forms. Our kids need to be monitored properly too.
Miyuki Yamaki is a mother, concerned over the effects of exposure on Fukushima's children.
We should do the whole body scan check on every kid, even outside the exclusion zone. We also need to clean them up by sending them away if they're contaminated, not just measuring them.
In response to health concerns, local anti-nuclear activists started a new group.
My name is Sachiko Sato. I live in Kawamata, Fukushima. We founded the Fukushima Network for Saving Children from Radiation on May the 1st. All the anti-nuclear energy activists moved their children outside Fukushima as soon as the earthquake happened. I also got my kids to move on March the 11th. I have five kids, but only two, aged 17 and 13, were at home. So I moved them outside Fukushima. Since Chernobyl, I'd always decided to move them at least 100 kilometres away if a nuclear accident happens in Fukushima. When I measured in Linomachi, the level was 5 millisieverts. It's fallen since and remained about 2 millisieverts till summer. Despite the explosion, the government continued saying that there is no immediate threat to our health. There were three pro-nuclear scientists who came to Fukushima to monitor the radiation level. They said below 100 millisieverts was safe, which residents believed. But then, on the 19th of April, the level was lowered to 20 millisieverts. Because the radiation reading here was lower than 20 millisieverts, residents really believed that it was okay to live here and missed their chance to evacuate. I'm concerned whether the government will ever sort this out.
The mistrust and sense of being let down by the authorities is deeply felt. The Fukushima Network for Saving Children from Radiation is one of several groups taking their own readings to try and assess levels of radioactive contamination, but they're unsure whether their results are accurate. From the BBC World Service, this is Discovery. I'm Marika Oi. We're in Fukushima to look at the long-term impact of the nuclear accident. Growing up in Japan, I did study about nuclear energy and how safe it was and the government was promoting it, but that was pretty much all I knew. And I don't think I'm wrong to say that I was particularly ignorant compared to other people here in Japan. I've spoken to many people, even in Fukushima, who said that they knew nothing about it, that they knew that it existed just around the corner, but they never really thought that this kind of accident could happen.
My name is Akira Watanabe, Vice President of Fukushima University. My specialty is meteorology. We observed the atmospheric motion. This time, we observed the pollution of radioactivity.
Local scientists at Fukushima University have been monitoring the situation since the beginning. Vice President and weather expert Akira Watanabe charts radiation levels in rainfall using data from 6,000 sampling stations set up at schools throughout the Fukushima Prefecture. 100 millisievert
以下の被曝 The health impact of radiation below 100 millisieverts is still not known. We're not hiding anything. We really don't know. The nuclear power plant is still releasing 60 million becquerels of radiation per hour. The Japanese Atomic Energy Agency says that's very little, but that's still worrying residents.
It sounds an awful lot of becquerels. The becquerel is a disintegration per second. So it means one of those radioactive isotopes is disintegrating a second, and in fact, in this case, 60 million of them are doing that disintegration. However, you've got to think of how many atoms there are in a gram of material, and that's Avogadro's number, and Avogadro's number is 10 to the 23, so that's one with 23 noughts after it. That's an awful lot of zeros. Only a very, very small amount of 1 gram of substance is actually undergoing that decay. Sounds an awful lot of decays, but actually it's not very much at all.
Robin Grimes again. So 60 million becquerels sounds huge, but it's not. However, the other much-used unit, the millisievert, is worth worrying about. That's a measure of radiation's ability to penetrate our bodies.
A sievert is a measure of the damage that the radiation does to different parts of you. So it takes account of the vulnerability of different parts of the human body, and it takes account of the different types of or extents of damage that different types of radiation does.
At the moment, we're saying that 100 millisieverts is the borderline. From there, it'll increase the risk of dying from cancer by 0.5%. That's if you get 100 millisieverts radiation in one go, like in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But we don't know how it changes below 100 millisieverts. We cannot be sure if, say, 10 millisieverts means a hike of 0.05% or maybe higher or lower. We do need to find out how less than 100 millisieverts radiation affects health. I'm not saying that we should be used as the guinea pigs, but the incident has unfortunately happened, so we can use this to understand what might happen to us in the future.
On Fukushima University's medical campus, a scientific survey to assess the long-term effects of the radiation has begun. Seiji Yasumura, head of the university's Department of Public Health, is running this new project.
It's difficult to say how much people of Fukushima have been exposed to radiation. But when we checked people who lived in areas which are considered to have high levels of radiation, more than 90% of them were exposed to less than 5 millisieverts, which is not much more than one hospital CT scan. That's the majority of them, obviously excluding workers who work at the TEPCO plant.
The initial aim of the survey is to check the health of all 2 million people in the Fukushima prefecture.
We've been examining the thyroids of children since October because that was a big concern due to what happened in Chernobyl. There are 360,000 people under the age of 18 in Fukushima, out of whom we finished checking almost 4,000. We've so far found no major health impact on them.
The health check started too late and its content is questionable. It makes me wonder if they are purposely gathering data to support the idea that radiation is safe. Many feel the same way, so they are not getting many responses.
Back at the vegetable shop, the activists are unsure of the value of this investigation.
Scientists were paid for by the government to appear on TV every day after the earthquake, repeatedly saying that radiation was safe. Viewers here who wanted to stay in Fukushima bought their theories. Many of these scientists have stopped talking nonsense now, but they must take responsibility.
Seiji Yasumura understands their point of view and even has some sympathy with it.
I can tell immediately when tourists get off at Fukushima Station. They're wearing masks, even in the summer. We need to provide accurate information to show the world that we're doing everything we can to address radiation. We cannot declare safety yet, but we're doing the cleanup and we're monitoring people's health. We also need to communicate better with residents, because some are complaining that they're used as guinea pigs for research, which is not the case.
He's faced problems coming from Fukushima himself.
I'm not sure whether telling the BBC is the right thing, but as soon as you say that you're from Fukushima, people have this don't touch attitude. Bullying might not be obvious, but kids might be neglected at schools. Or if you have a car with a Fukushima number plate, people say, oh, Fukushima. I went overseas for a conference, and as soon as I said I was from here, a Japanese lady at the reception had this very surprising reaction. That made me feel very sad. I don't want to think that it's all over Japan, but I don't think people outside Fukushima understand how we feel.
From the kids' point of view, we need to bring it below 1 millisievert. People here and across Japan think that decontamination is it. But internal exposure is the next big challenge. We need to stop kids from eating contaminated food. They were already exposed externally, and we need to prevent them from being exposed further. People here can only buy products from this area, and they are contaminated. The level set by the government is not trustworthy.
Many of the remaining nuclear isotopes are now in the soil, causing concerns about potential contamination of food. Tomoko Nakanishi, professor at Tokyo University's Department of Agriculture and Life Science, has been looking at their impact on plant and animal life.
The rainfall was 189 millimeters during these 3 months, and the cesium moving distance, the center of the radioactivity, moved 21.6 millimeters. First 3 months. Then the next 3 months, how much the cesium activity moved was only 5.6 millimeters, although the rainfall was 3 times higher. This shows with time the cesium was more firmly adhered to the soil.
Yeah.
This is the first data, only 10 or 20%.
Yeah.
But with the time goes on, the cesium is more firmly adhered to the soil.
The cleanup operation is consistent with Tomoko's findings, removing the top few centimetres of soil where the cesium is tightly bound. But there's uncertainty, especially over whether cesium levels in rice may increase in the future. Only tiny amounts of radioactive cesium exist in rainfall and run off from snow in Fukushima's mountains. But it's possible this could become more concentrated in rice, taking up that water once it reaches paddy fields.
The rice can absorb the cesium, which is dissolved in the water. So how much amount of cesium is dissolved is a problem. If the small amount of cesium is dissolved as an ion in a chemical form, then the plants can absorb. But unless it is dissolved, it's very difficult for plants to absorb directly from the soil. It's hardly none. No cesium will be absorbed from the soil, even if it is highly contaminated.
Going forward, what's the goal, I guess, for the Fukushima Prefecture as well?
It's very difficult to say when is the goal, but the thing we have to say is we have to continue this measurement for a longer time, because we do not know what will happen to the next harvest and what will happen to the next harvest. And it takes 1 year to harvest the rice. So this year, perhaps we can get less radioactivity in rice.
Do you think there's a possibility that a few years down the road there could be higher radiation?
I do not expect the cesium is moving, but we do not know which places has a high radioactivity, because the contamination is not uniform. Some place the radioactivity is very high, and the people without knowing that place and growing the rice, there's a possibility there might be some contaminated rice coming out. We should know the reason we should analyze the landscape and also the situation on or the weather and the clay, I mean the soil. And many people have to gather together to solve the problem. What is happening until the rice absorbs the cesium?
Well, we've come to an area known as the city of Koriyama in Fukushima Prefecture. It's located southwest of the nuclear power plant. So according to the government's data, which showed how radiation spread soon after the explosion at the plant, this area wasn't affected too badly. We're standing in the middle of snow-covered fields. It's huge, and we're surrounded by quite a number of mountains. And in the middle of it, there's this farmer who's digging up his carrots. I asked his father whether it's unusual for them to be digging up carrots in the snow. He said that as long as they can sell products, as long as there's enough demand, they do dig up those carrots even in the middle of winter. So I was looking for a farmer in Fukushima and I started Googling, and then I found this article which was written by a farmer himself, and then realized that there's a project organized by the prefecture of Fukushima to explain what they've been doing to tackle radiation issues and some of the rumors that's been going around across Japan. I'm here with Takahiro Sato, who's involved in this project, who's mainly working on this website, new products of Fukushima.
Fukushima, it's kind of promotion. Every day, the prefecture check up the data for the Nosakumotsu
agricultural products
on the web page every day.
Farmers in this area are facing some, I guess, discrimination where consumers don't want to buy products from Fukushima even if there isn't any contamination in their products.
Some people very nervous about the products, but other people wants to buy the products if they're safe, if they're checked. It's very important to open the information for the nuclear things, I mean data.
And what have you been finding so far? Are these products safe for consumers to buy?
Yeah, very a few, but very, what do you say, 精密に? 難しいな, なんて言えばいいんだろうな? その、 なんて言うんだろう? こう、 品目とか、 その、 地域とか、 よってやっぱり県がすごくこう、 検査してるんですよね。
They categorize each product, carrots to, I guess, spinach to rice, and they measure radiation level in becquerel, and make all the information public so that consumers can decide what to buy. And they're hoping that by making it available, making the information available, consumers can realize that not all products from Fukushima are highly contaminated.
My name's Koshi Fujita, and I'm a farmer in the city of Koriyama in Fukushima. I grow rice and carrots, as you just saw. Our family's been farming for a long time, and I'm the eighth generation here. It goes back to the Edo period. Since the nuclear accident in Fukushima, we farmers have been in a very tough situation, but we've decided to continue farming. People outside Fukushima, across Japan, or even the world, only talk about Fukushima in data and numbers. But I want them to know there are people behind those numbers. I started writing articles for this new website so they can find out why we decided to continue farming and how we feel. We check all the products with various experts and no radiation has been detected. But I understand why some people might not want to eat products from here. All I can do is to continue making good products, and hopefully the evidence from those assessments can help us regain consumers' trust. On internet forums, we've been accused of making toxic products or that we're murderers. It really hurts, but I think people can say such extreme things online because they don't communicate face to face. So I will release what I know about my products and will also try to learn how consumers feel about them.
course, she remains optimistic, but Fukushima's farmers are having a hard time. Some have even committed suicide. This is Discovery from the BBC World Service, with a special programme looking at the impact of the accident at the Fukushima nuclear power station a year ago.
I don't think I've consciously avoided products from Fukushima, but I guess it would be a lie if I said I didn't care about it at all. And if you are a resident of Fukushima who had no idea about nuclear power plants, and I met some of them, and they furiously studied about radiation, and there's just so much information that they don't know what to believe. And in the end, especially if you're a mother, you end up believing something which is very conservative. So you start to think that even the current level of radiation isn't safe for children, and that you have to remove mountains to decontaminate this city. And while those views seem rather extreme, I can also understand why she might have ended up with that kind of conclusion. Well, I'm just outside the exclusion zone in the city of Minamisoma, which means this is exactly 20 kilometres from the nuclear power plant. The government has set this exclusion zone so every resident inside that zone had to abandon their home to evacuate. There are about 3-4 workers standing at the gate with a big truck and very bright, shiny red light sticks. They're waving those lights at the incoming cars to make sure that they have the authorization to go inside the zone. This city is rather unique because half of Minamisoma lies within the exclusion zone, but the other half isn't. So depending on where you lived, you had to evacuate, you had to abandon your home and you had to evacuate, whereas just around the corner, just down the street, your neighbours might still be okay to live here. And just a short drive away are rows of temporary houses for evacuees surrounding a school. Tatsuhiko Kodama, the outspoken radioisotope professor from Tokyo, is a frequent visitor. He's been advising the local government on decontamination. Today, he's giving a talk and answering questions from a worried parent on the effects of the radiation. The discussion is wide-ranging, from the impact of radiation on unborn children to whether it's safe to eat mushrooms.
The biggest problem after the accident was the censorship. Scientists, politicians, or journalists didn't say what happened. In case of a nuclear power plant accident, it is a very complex problem. The freedom of speech might be critical, but in this case, the government, major politicians, major TV station of Japan newspapers made the biggest mistake. Due to simply this defect, many residents faced, how can I say, exposure. The journalism in Japan was quite crazy. They didn't report it. Explosion of first reactor or third reactor on Japanese TV. So we watched the explosion only on internet, watching US television or EU television. And even after meltdown, actually meltdown happened in 12th March, but around 13th or 14th on television, mainstream scientists just in order to prevent meltdown, we needed to do one thing or something like that was the major issue. But 2 months later, they reported that meltdown happened March 12th. So this is a quite strange situation. We may accuse, for example, North Korea. They have some gag censorship. But actually, this is Japan in 21st century.
As we've heard in this program, there's a mismatch between the public perception of the dangers posed by the radiation leaks and the scientific findings. Even Shunichi Tanaka, the scientist with perhaps the biggest responsibility, masterminding the cleanup operation, is unhappy with the way information is being used by government. Policy seems to be based on political convenience and popular appeal rather than hard scientific facts.
Government judgment is very crazy, I think. Not reasonable, because now Japanese value is less than European value. Cesium and that, koinote govun nishesho, the niten govun nishesho.
He's just explaining that the level for vegetables and meat, eggs and fish, the maximum that Japan allows is 500 becquerel, whereas the EU has 1,250 becquerel. And the government is now trying to reduce this to 100.
Yes, yes.
これが500からその100になる理由というのはなぜなんですか?
Political performance by Minister of 厚労省はなんだ?
So currently it's 500 becquerel, but it's going to be reduced to 100 becquerel, so less than one-tenth of Europe.And I was just asking him why the government has decided to do so. And he said it's just a political performance.
Because the consumer asked zero becquerel. And the present minister responds to the voice.
One area, though, where there seems to be broad agreement is on the need for extra care for those forced to leave their homes by the disaster. To deal not with radiation...but stress and psychological problems.
We unfortunately don't have enough evidence to tell them confidently that they're safe to come back to Fukushima now. So I understand why they want to live elsewhere. But the reason we're checking their mental health is because of stress caused by moving.
Professor Yasumura says among the elderly who evacuated, twice as many people have died compared to the previous year.He suggests this is because of the stress of moving, which is also a huge concern for children and pregnant women.
They're living in a different environment. They often stop doing regular exercise. And for pregnant women, they'd have to have different doctors. And we notice a huge impact on their mental health. So it's not completely better to move somewhere with low radiation, because some people get lonely and depressed by leaving their communities. We're not asking them to come back to areas with high radiation, but we are worrying about their mental health.
Well, there are different perspectives on how dangerous the current level is, and that's understandable. But it's unfortunate that people are splitting everyone into two groups, like you're either with us on non-nuclear energy or not. You can be anti-nuclear and yet say that this accident...luckily, had very little impact on people's health. But they'd label you as an evil pro-nuclear scientist who's a puppet of the government. We need to work together towards the recovery, but we're fighting within the same city. So, as scientists, we self-censor what we say so that we don't get attacked personally.
Scientifically, I think it's still very difficult to say...what will happen because of low-level radiation, but everyone's concerns, they're very reasonable. I can completely understand why a mother is very worried, even if the government and even if farmers say that these products from Fukushima are safe to eat. Obviously, parents want to minimize the risk, but also speaking to those farmers themselves...They have probably one of the biggest challenges because now they suffer from these rumours. And even if they get their products checked up, they can't really change the perspectives of consumers. If they think that they don't want to risk it, then they wouldn't touch anything from Fukushima. But I guess it's not just about science, it's about people's perspectives. And you can't really change that quickly.It feels like the community's split and yet everyone understands why other people are saying the other arguments, but they can't seem to come to an agreement just yet. I'm Marie Goy, and this has been Discovery on the BBC World Service. Thank you for listening.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. The details of them all go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.